Vision Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show. Thank you for joining us. Today is call-in Friday, although we have to wait on the calls. Jules is setting the phone number up for us now. And that gives us plenty of time to talk to my guest host, Dana Dernford. Thank you for joining me, Dana. And thank you so much for coming back after the big hassle last Friday.
Oh, yeah. Hassle? You don't know hassle.
Hey, your sound's a little bit super high. You're kind of echoey. Got the mega. Dana has like a mega system, I guess.
That's because I got an empty head before it comes out. It sounds like a echo.
There you go.
Is that any better?
Yeah, that's perfect. I think that's perfect. So thanks for joining us. So tell us about, you did a little symposium. So this is exactly, you were telling me the same scenario that happened to me and Kevin Blanch. What happened to you when you were doing your symposium? Why don't you tell our listeners about what you were up to with that?
Right. I rented a facility in my community, 25,000 people in Powell River, British Columbia, Canada. And advertisement, posters throughout the community, went out and talked to leading people in the community. And so everybody showed up except for the people that let us in. Oh. And so that ended up getting canceled.
Everybody showed up except the people that let you in. How many people were standing around waiting to be let in?
Well, the place can only hold 75 people. We would have filled it up.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Are you kidding?
Yeah. And so that's the way it goes. It sounds like an honest mistake. I don't know. There is a lot of people here who don't want the conversation out there. I've been physically attacked by some of the big businesses here dependent upon the ocean. They've come out and publicly try to shame me. But my evidence stands. I mean, I showed that all the species are gone, and they say, well, they're catching fish. And so we're not, that's two different worlds. We're talking about the tidal zones.
Wow.
They're talking about the species that are last to go, the species way up the food chain. And so, like, we're way up the food chain. So insects are affected by radiation long before the humans are. Insects and the microscopic world is affected by radiation long before the elephants are, so to speak. They're still affected at the same time, but before it shows up, right? But anyway, we have another symposium, and this one is for 700 people coming up.
Wow.
And so I think I can fill that one up. And
what
that
day
one,
is that?
Well, the date's going to change. I sent the emails out to postpone it for two more weeks because of what happened for the last symposium. It was supposed to be the Kickstarter, and then that would get the conversation going.
Mm.
And at the same time, I'm supposed to be on a local radio station, and
okay.
I haven't been able to get on the radio station. It looks like they're pulling the rug out from underneath me there. Now, it looks like it, they are. And I know for sure there's active resistance against me at the radio station. And
Well,
these
that's
people.
to be expected, really. That is to be expected. They do that with everybody. I mean, when I first put on Kevin Blanch, the very first symposium Kevin Blanch ever did, he came to Eugene, Oregon. We stood outside for 45 minutes, the same thing. But, you know, I guess maybe Eugene's a small town. I don't know what it was, but I ended up, it took us 45 minutes. We got the janitor to call somebody, to call somebody, to call somebody. It took 45 minutes for us to get in the room. And so that, even anyone who's going to talk about nuclear, I would say that if you're going to do anything like this, you need to call the day before and talk to the person who's going to let you in the room. That's what I would have done from now on.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, 100%. And the big facility I'm going to, I'm in there 2 hours before the show starts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so I have security at the last one on top of that. I had to pay for that, even though no one showed up to let us in. I still had to pay for that security.
Wow.
I'll have security next time so that people can have a conversation.
Do you know what is an interesting sidebar about that one, though? It really does show the people who did show up, those 75%, how twisted the nuclear industry is and how much they use their pull to lie to people. I mean, this is drawing home the point exactly what we're attempting to expose, is exactly how deep the state is involved with the uranium mining and with poisoning people. It's a genocidal industry.
And the idiot movement that follows that, right? The idiot movement that thinks that that is so, right? There's a movement of normal people that believe everything they're told. And I've ran into those people, and you cannot talk to them. You can't have a conversation with these people. They immediately turn into an idiot mode. And,
I lost a friend over that. She basically told me to get out of her house because it's like, I was just making a comment about, you know, the nuclear. We were talking, we were having a good evening. And I said, you know, it's just kind of like what they're doing. She's like, you can't just stop talking about that. You know, I don't think we can be friends. And I was like, wow. Okay, I guess we can't because
You never were friends in that case.
Exactly. That's what I said. That's exactly what I said to her. I said, you know what? I guess we're not really friends. You're right. And I walked out of her house. I gathered my stuff and left. Her jaw dropped, and I looked there and went, you know what? Like, you were right. If you can say that to me, we're not really friends, because this is the most critical issue of our time. If we're not attempting to continue to speak out to our friends and family, you don't really love your friends and family. We need to warn them of what's going on, because they need to take, you know, it's kind of a, what do you think of? Damn,
we get the flu and we tell our friends, don't come too close, I got the flu. Yeah?
Yeah.
We do that all the time, right?
Yeah.
And we got bad food or something, we won't feed it to our friends or families or pets or anything because it's bad food. And we know the difference. We know that that might harm them. And even though we might not have much food there, we still know better than to eat it because we know it's actually bad at that stage. But we do have these capacities, but we don't have the capacity for nuclear because everybody's told in their own world, in the media, magazines, and on TV and institutions, that is like potassium 40. It's like bananas and potato chips. And so, like, this is a demonic that people do that on our planet, that people are just saying those words. These are demons in every sense of the word. They know better. But the people that repeat it don't know better. They're putting their faith in somebody with a PhD or somebody who's a doctor or whatever the case
right.
may be.
Like Catherine Higley from University of Oregon. She knows exactly what she's saying. She's
oh, yeah.
the one who created that article that said there's no more radiation from a banana than from Fukushima than a banana. That's an outrage and a genocidal lie. That's a
right.
genocidal
And she's
lie.
In charge of cancer victims. She treats the children for cancer. And here she is publicly speaking, Kathleen Higley, like for extended periods, for up to an hour. And every word coming out of her mouth is a provable lie. Any journalist or anybody out there that even tries will find out that every sentence she's saying is a lie. But she's allowed to do that. The institutions won't hold her accountable. She won't lose her degree. There's no media will fact check anything she's saying.
It seems like public lying and public manipulation is sort of the meme of our culture. It's character destroying.
It, yeah.
It really demeans. I mean, when we think about our children who are now 22, 23, 24, 5 years old, all they've known is the media. Really, there used to be a time when the media sort of fought back against it or pretended to. Now it's just blatant. This is why these types of venues are important, so that people get alternative ideas and hear real information. And even if it goes against your grain, that's why, like, a lot of times I'll have on people on that even sound outrageous to me a little bit. But you know what? Like, still, I don't mind that, because every thought needs to be challenged now. We're in the fight of our lives.
I done a video, not the best one in the world, a couple of days ago, where it kind of went off. But what it does is, I had around 50 headlines of academics and professors and personalities, very well-known people, calling for the death of anybody who denied climate change, calling for the death of skeptics, calling for the deaths, burning down their houses, calling for gulags, calling for Ebola to wipe them out. Now, all they had to do was explain the science. They didn't have to come out and say those words. They don't have to come out with those connotations. All they have to do is come out and explain their case. They don't have to come out and make those types of statements. They make those type of statements because they don't have any valid science, and that because they're constantly saying, you got to believe me, don't believe what you're reading, don't believe the other side, just believe the things that we're saying without the evidence, then the frustration becomes so much for them that they turn into vicious psychotic animals. And this is the answer that they got. And we got around 50 headlines of these people calling for the extermination of everybody who disagrees with them, rather than having a debate.
This is an interesting thing. You bring up this title of climate change. You know, I've said this many times. I think that's a euphemism for radioactive poisoning. I think that climate change is precipitated by the advent of the nuclear industry. And we have taken a nosedive since they started carpet bombing our planet with the hottest material known to humanity ever.
Never stops producing. Yeah.
And they never even talk about it. Like, never even discuss it. It's not even on their brain.
Well, 70 years of the same lie. 70 years of telling everybody it's like a banana and a potato chip and walking in sunshine or getting on an airplane.
And complete denial that it causes harm.
70 years. And no science to back it up. 70 years and nothing valid, right? Well, so they're stuck with their lie, and now the desperation shows up.
This is a perfect example. We have two people from New York State running for president in the United States, or pretending to run for president. Let me put a caveat that one. I don't believe it's real, but they're pretending to run for president. They held one of their debates was in St. Louis. Both those cities are having unrelenting leaks of highly toxic radioactive waste. Neither campaign addressed it. Neither one of them breathed a word about it. They both implied that they believe in the green economy, which includes nuclear. It is a murderous outrage. I heard Kevin Sanders. His name is Kevin Sanders. He's a UK anti-nuclear, interviewed on Carol Rosen's show. And she said, you know what, when scientists invent weapons of mass destruction, when they invent systems like the nuclear stuff, they move from being scientists to genociders. They are no longer scientists. We can't call them scientists at this point. That was a stunning
statement. When they were doing a nuclear bomb testing in any country, they had soldiers getting up and walking towards the fissionable product as it went off. And that they know about the health effects because they had animals all over those sites and on those ships that they blew up with nuclear bomb testing way back in the 40s and 50s. And they knew the effects. There was no ifs, there was no buts, there was no maybes. Then you see the modelings of the radioactive fallout if Russia was to attack America. They're not talking about bananas. They're talking about radioactive fallout. They're talking about getting shelters and being hiding in your shelters for extended periods of time. So it's not like they don't acknowledge the dangers of it. It's just some way or another everybody else forgot about that side of it, where it's well known. But the academics that are out there speaking, they got a tendency or a religion of pretending that it's like there's more natural radiation than there is from man-made, therefore go ahead and eat the product, but you only need one atom, right?
Right, go ahead and eat the product. And actually, this is what I discovered. Like, there's some really great documentaries that I've been able to find through other, actually, it's through other YouTubers. This is how I'm finding through, this is why your live feed is so awesome, Dana. And thank you for pursuing it daily, relentlessly, even though you're having legal issues because you are speaking out. I want to thank you because you pull up articles that really have been disappeared on the internet from what happened on Fukushima in the early times, because I came into this late, well, a year and a half, almost 2 years too late. Like, I believed our government. Many of the articles that you show, many of the images that you show, disappeared, completely disappeared. So thank you. And this is like, there was this there's a doctor, Dr. Holger Strom from Germany. He created this full movie, it's free on the YouTubes, called Quietly Into Disaster. And it's a documented series of, they know exactly what they're doing and they know how terrible it is. They also know that we have no way to store it. It is really like, you know, watching the images on your live feed about Fukushima, really, that have been disappeared. If we could see those images, if the masses of people would see those images, they would understand that we are in a catastrophic emergency right now with the state that Fukushima is in.
Yeah, we're catastrophic, and if we try, we can make a difference. If we were to plant organic seeds throughout our community, we could help the insect world, the animal kingdom, and ourselves at the same time. Yeah, exactly. The microbes are the most important. Yeah. But the organic food that, like, we all have lawns and we have to struggle. Most of our budget is going in our homes and in our food, for instance. But the food is a big one because most people can't afford to eat proper. They're going to eat the cheap stuff. But it's so simple that if every community was to plant organic food throughout your community, there's enough, like, you would save an incredible fortune. It would be cheaper than maintaining your lawn. It'd be cheaper than maintaining the sides of the road. It'd be cheaper than maintaining, or like, stuff like flower gardens and stuff like that. Or the same price. But then you would have all this food and all your neighbors.
Well, you know what that also requires? People have to work. Because, like, you know, this is the interesting thing. I come from Los Angeles. I'd never actually eaten a plant off of a tree before I came to Oregon. I was actually afraid to eat the blackberries growing wild in my backyard when I first moved in here. I was like, are you sure this is safe? My daughter's like, Mom, they don't come in plastic wrap, right? Yeah. But I've been here, I guess, 13, 14 years. I now have a garden. Even in the wintertime, I just planted my winter garden.
You can go
greens. You can grow. There's things that you can grow that are pretty hardy in lots of the spaces in the United States. And where it's super freezing, there's ways to cover it up. I mean, it's simple techniques. This is how humanity survived in all these conditions throughout history. They didn't have grocery stores. They grew their own food. And they learn to survive. But the issue comes down to, you have to get up in the morning on Saturday or Sunday once or twice a week, go out, tend the garden, pick the food. You actually, you know, when you eat the food and pick the food, it encourages the plant to grow. So there's a lot of, it's a relationship between you and your garden that many people have lost, that frankly, intentionally, they want us to lose so that we're dependent on them. Again, it's about us breaking free of the shackles of this system.
Look, you know, what are you going to do in the near future when you know about what's happening, not you in particular, but people that know what's happening, know what happened, understand it, are academics and scientists? What are they going to do when the world wakes up over the next year or so because it's an extinction event in the Pacific Ocean? What are these people going to do? Where are they going to hide? Because that's what they're going to try to do. That's what they're going to want to do. Where are they going to gather? Who's gonna come looking for all of these people, including their own friends and families and loved ones, because they realize now that these were indescribable creatures that lied viciously to everybody and everything around them for over 6 years straight, and that they'll come to that realization that all these people that lied to them actually knew the difference, are not naive or gullible, or they done it on purpose and willingly. That, to me, you know, is one of the things that I hate about everything, is that day is coming. And the repercussions for that is not my fault. And it's just not my fault.
I don't hate that. I look forward to that day because that's the day when that breaks, because then the next day everybody's going to have to say, okay, what are we going to do about it? I mean, that's what we need. We need ownership of our own lives and to really appreciate how really precious and beautiful our lives are, and they do not have to be destroyed by these hideous monsters. Now, we have taken a horrible turn for the worst, and I think that with the time we have left, because let's be clear, if some big invention doesn't come up in the next 30 years, we're all super screwed. We're all done. There is no humanity in 200 years. There's no life on this planet because of the nuclear industry. Period. End of sentence. Unless they have some miracle reversal of the atoms or whatever. So far, they haven't figured it out. But we only have a small period of time. And I look forward to that day, Dana, when... it's not going to be fun. Maybe that comes on the heels of me having had a tremendously difficult childhood. Like I have lived through, when people hear my life story, they're like, oh my God. But you know what? What I learned from that is there's a lot of joy past all that pain. And there's a lot of living to be done. You can thrive. You don't have to be stuck in it. And we have to be determined. And that's the message. I think that those of us who are aware, we can give them, yes, it's grim, but in the meantime, there's still a lot of good that can be done and had and a lot of fun to be done. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. So how about a phone call? Let me give out the number. Jules told me that the number is ready. Today is call-in Friday. If any of our listeners want to give us a call and speak with Dana Durnford, the major lieutenant in this fight, 718-717-8296. And let me repeat that number. It's 718-717-8296. And I'm going to do it a third time because three times the charm. I learned that in my improv class. 718-717-8296. And by that, I mean, you know, if you want a message to sink in, say it three times and no more. You know, that was kind of the interesting thing about learning the improv technique. So Dana.
They can text. Can they text you questions?
Can they text me questions?
Yeah.
Yes, they can, but my cell phone's in the other room.
I'm just saying in the future, you might want to have that.
Yeah, that's a good idea. You know, yeah. I mean, actually, yes.
Because a lot of people might rather sit there and think it out and type it in and just send it off. And
texting idea. The issue with that for me, Dan, is I'm not much of a, I'm not that type A personality where I can be looking at a text and talking to you, or I get all like.
No, you stop, you read the text and say, here's a question. You know, you do it in my comment section, right? So.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You can, you know how to use it, you know how it works. You can learn to utilize it.
It's just a thought off the top of my head.
And
you know what's another idea is the Twitter feed. I was thinking that this morning that we could.
Yeah.
Twitter feed where people could talk to me. That's another idea. So
a lot of people don't use social networking.
Okay, so here's a call, and let me see if this call. I don't think it's gonna work. It says it'll put your call on hold, so I don't think that's.
Yeah, stick me on hold, and then hang up on them. And get me back on if that's how it works.
Because then the show goes dead too.
Okay, let's keep going then.
Yeah, we're going to keep
going.
That's
too bad.
Sorry about that caller, but that did not work. It said, because if it tells me your call will go on hold, then your call will go on hold. That's what
You can call my number, 1-604-223-0763, and I'll hold you up to the microphone if you got a quick question, and we're going to hang up on you because it costs money for me. So.
Yeah.
Anything that costs me money, I got to give it up.
Okay, so this is not. There are people who are calling, but it says it's going to put it on hold, and I do not know why that didn't work, but it's not working.
No, you'll get the kinks out of it one of these days.
Yeah. So
like I was trying to raise money to buy a $7,000 Skype machine because I understand how freaking difficult it is, and that's different. It repairs the picture, the video. It recolors it. Adobe's the audio, that machine, right? They're very expensive, $7,000 by the time you get it. And then you got to do 6 hours training to use it. But you get the copyright on everything coming at you on top of that. So it's good for interviews. Look, we got an extinction event. Anybody's not familiar, playing out on this planet. And what happened was we went out and done just a quick, while we were waiting, just a quick understanding of that was 260 days of doing the coastline up to 5 months without coming home on the ocean. And then 15,000 miles of the coastline, a couple thousand pictures of the coastline. And what we do is we have previous pictures of the coastline, but I actually have almost 14,000 hours logged in under the ocean as a commercial diver in both oceans here in Canada. And then I had worked at every industry in both oceans, but I also have a long history in nuclear. And so I got a really unique perspective, and I'm there for facts only. And it's not like I'm out taking a picture and then just talking about it. It's up at my website, The Nuclear Proctologist. And I'm the worst photographer, obviously, on any planet in the solar system.
I don't think so. The photos are great.
There we go. We got our first call.
Yes.
Washington. Go ahead, Washington. Hang on. Hang on. I got you now. Go ahead.
You going to put him on speaker?
This is Hope, Bobby May, Hope Castor. Hi, Lonnie.
Hi. Well, thanks for calling.
How you do? You are the best, man. You are great. And we all love you, Nadia, Dana.
Thank you.
And another thing, Dana, I wanted to thank you for showing those melted reactors over and over again. Every day they're leaking out, and you're one of the few voices that is really speaking out about it.
I'm only going to show you 500 more times, does it?
Well, keep going. Just keep going, man. All right?
Okay, good stuff.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank
okay,
you.
Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks for doing that, Dana. This is like kind of a pain in the neck, but I don't know how we're going to get this one doing, but we're going to have to figure this out. I'll work with the producer, and we'll work something out. We'll figure it out, because I know it's not my end. I figured it out.
Well, let them get it off their chest, right, if there's something they want to throw out, or if they just want to say hi, right? That's all I was thinking, give them an opportunity. There it was, because they couldn't get in on that end. Let them. At least they tried, maybe I could help.
Yeah.
So, like, I'll just finish off on that point I was making where we've done the whole coastline of Canada, and then instead of the 5,600 highly visible species, and what that would amount to was about 600 to 700 algae, depending on where you're to. It could be up to 7,000 species that are considered the indigenous residential population. There's 4 million plus species in the ocean, but we recognize the species I'm going to list out here. So 600 to 700 algae, 480 roughly species of worms. These are all salt water we're talking about. And we would find them in a tidal pool, folks that are out there not familiar. You would expect to find 78 species of starfish. Now, each species of starfish would come in multiple colors. You would have the same thing for the 76 species of sea anemones. And sea anemones are kind of like a big tube with a flower on the top of it. And they can be up to 3 feet high, like the giant plume sea anemones, which are highly visible, and you get up to 500 per square meter. And they can live out of the water at low tide and do all the way up to the high tide line. At the high tide line, there was also a wide variety of fauna and flora and sea anemones that are indigenous to the high tide zone and live in the spray zone. But at the tide zone itself, there was also an incredible amount of clams type shells, shellfish. So you would have clams like little necks and manillas and razorback clams. You would have this big animal known as a gooey duck. He's just a one-sided or two-sided clam, but he's great big things. And they live up to be 200 years old. You would have abalone, and most people are familiar with abalone, highly coveted clam. It's a one-shell clam. You would have all kinds of oysters. You would have all kinds of scallops, different types of scallops, swimming scallops, the indigenous Pacific scallops. You would have 6,000-plus invertebrates without the backbones, like little shrimps. They would live amongst 600 to 700 algae. You would have all kinds of snails and mollusks. You would have incredible diversity. And then you would have around 30,000 insects in the coastline itself. I found less than 100, but none of these were, you wouldn't find 100 in any place. You'd be lucky to find 12. And the 12 that you did find were in desperate straits. And that if those handful of species disappeared, it will be totally naked on the coastline. Now, the significance of those species, this was the nursery of the Pacific. That's what the tidal zones are. But at the same time, it was important for the migratory animals, birds in particular, and mammals coming along the coastline. This diversity along the shoreline was able to sustain life for the migratory, and there could be millions at a time, and there was, would come down the coastline. And so what we ended up with on bird side was normally you would expect to see 5,000 birds per square mile. And because they're eating anchovies and squid and sardines and krill and all the other smaller feeder fish, they were gone. We're down 11 species out of over 300 residential migratory that are highly popular on the coastline. So we came all the way down to this, but what we ended up seeing now was mass die-offs. And the die-offs of the birds in particular would normally come ashore to the low tide zone into the mudflats and be able to eat all the species that live there, but they're gone too. And so the die-offs we're seeing of them is they starved to death. It's the same thing with the whales and the same thing with the seals. The seals, if the mothers weren't able to or died or they got lost, then the seals would just come ashore, baby seals, and eat everything on the rocks. They would eat the 600 algae, the 6,500 invertebrates amongst that. They would eat the snails or the mollusks, the mussels, the gooey ducks or the abalones. They would eat anything there. And there was so much there, there was no way you couldn't put your head down, no matter who you are or where you're to, and get a meal. Now it's completely naked. Now you will starve to death. And now it's unimaginable, it's unconscionable that not only this, but the glaciers in the British Columbia coastline, the Rocky Mountains, is also missing. And that would regulate the temperatures, that would have the rivers, the lakes, the estuaries, the communities, and that habitat, that biodiversity is gone too. And so the salmon can't make it up the river, and they're spawning in the estuaries at the base of, on the saltwater side of the rivers. We've never seen that before. The animals along the coastline are missing, and media has come out and claimed they're migrated away looking for food. But like most eat little bud shoots off the trees and everything else, they're still here. Those shoots are still on the tree. But the animals, the big mammals and everything else are missing. But none of them out there are willing to say the word radiation from Japan's melted reactors. But if we look at Japan's melted reactors, and I'll end on that, is that each of the buildings had 10 years of reactor cores stored in the buildings. And so the reactor core is only good for a year to 2 years, and not quite 2 years, about 18 months. Usually about a year, they change out around 75% of the reactor core. And then they leave around 20 to 30% in the reactor core, and they add no new fuel rods in. Excuse me, I'm burping. So these six reactor cores per building, basically, are missing. And so we're not talking about a single reactor core like Chernobyl that was only a 30% meltdown, allegedly, and stopped after 10 days, allegedly. And I should always repeat those words, allegedly, no matter what you talk about nuclear, but particularly about accidents, because they're going to cover up 99% if they could. If not, they'll cover up at least 70% of it. And when you look at the documentation, it looks like it very well could have been 100% meltdown in Chernobyl. It did blow parts of the graphite up on the roof, and we've seen the videos and documentations of people that went up and dealt with that. But we also know there was a huge, huge unsustained meltdown that did happen. And allegedly that couldn't happen, but it did happen. But what we're talking about is so many lies for so long, and nobody out there making sure that somebody's telling the truth. In fact, the complete opposite. The media brings up information to support that potassium 40 is somehow a dirty bomb, that a banana potato chip is somehow a dirty bomb. But this is ludicrous. It's absolute shameful. It's an embarrassment to anybody out there in the academic community, yet they're doing it too. Go ahead, Lonnie, because I won't. If you got something,
no, that's all right. I just ran and got my phone, and someone was trying to call me, but that's not something that I can do. Listen to you and do this, add the phone call in like you wanted them to do. I think it's a good idea for people to text me if you want to ask a question to Dana. So people can actually, well, let me answer this phone and see if I can do this to you, what you did with us. Okay, hold on. Hi, you're on the air with Lonnie Clark, Age of Fission Radio Show. You've called my cell phone, so are you here?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, can you hear him? Dana?
Hello?
Perfectly, yeah.
Dana?
Okay, so this
is... go ahead.
Go ahead.
I'm all set. You guys can hear me?
I think we can. I think this is
a
good
no
experiment.
Yeah, no problem. I can hear. Yeah, I can hear.
All right. Well, I just wanted to thank you guys so much. You know, I'm online every day trying to put out the word. My neighbors, I mean, people just aren't getting it. I can't figure it out.
What part of the world do you live in? Where do you live?
I live in Michigan, in southern Michigan.
Ironically, that's where my friend was from, who told me to get lost. She didn't want to hear it either.
Yeah, it's hard. People don't want to. I don't know if they're just so much they just don't want to believe it, or it's just crazy. But I'm on your Facebook.
Well, this gentleman's name is Mike. He is on my Facebook. And Mike, you go out and protest all by yourself. You stand on street corners by yourself, don't you?
Yes, ma'am. That's me.
Yeah, well, that's
awesome.
Sunday, and I can't get one person to help me out. I mean, it's ridiculous. You guys probably know how it is.
Yes.
I'm sure you do.
Yes, we do know how that is, standing out there with a sign all by yourself. And when you do it, people will honk, and they encourage you. It's a very interesting...
I've had guys, like, for instance, I've had a guy stop and ask me, is it Fukushima in our milk? And I'm like, dude, just go check it out. Go, you know, go online and look. You know, this is how much he knew. Well, something's in our milk. I don't know, but is Dana there? Can he hear me?
Yes, he can hear you. He can hear you, except that you probably can't hear him.
Yeah, good luck to him on all of his court cases. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, just for trying to tell somebody something, you know, you got to get all this.
Well, this is
the
thing.
It's a war.
It's part of the lie program. They want to just lie. They don't want us to know the truth. They have no interest in people finding out.
Us.
Yeah.
And it's a war against us. So I just wanted to say thank you, and I hope somebody in Michigan will come out. I mean, I'm here. I'll be out Sunday at 10 o'clock.
And where will you be? What city? Tell them where you're going to be.
In Brownstown, Michigan. It's on the corner of West Road and Telegraph. I put it on Facebook. It's all over Facebook. So we'll see what happens. I'll be out there.
Great. Well, also put it on Instagram. There's a lot of people on Instagram. Use Tumblr. Use Twitter. Get on all of those sites because you need to have like that double, triple, quadruple exposure. It really does help, I think.
Oh, I know. I'm just not too computer savvy, so I just get on my Facebook.
It's not that hard. So, look, I'll find your post and I'll retweet. I'll put it back on my. I'll Twitter it for you and I'll put it on my Instagram post because I'm nuts
great,
for art.
I'll be out there.
Yeah, my site is NUTZFORART on. I'm nuts for art too on Twitter and nuts for art on Instagram. So I'll definitely put it up there.
All right. Well, thank you guys.
Thank you, Mike, for calling in. Okay,
thank
you, good luck. Thank you.
All right. You guys have a good day. Thank you.
Well, that was a clever idea. While you were talking, Dana, I ran in the other room and got my cell phone.
Awesome.
Because that was a great idea, and I don't know how this will sound, but you could hear him. If you can hear him.
Yeah, no, I heard him perfect, so hopefully he's listening right now.
Yes.
And so, Mike, what you got to do, the most impacting you could do, and I know you're not technically savory, obviously, from what you just said, and technically, you're still not able to do the things you like to be able to do with a computer. And that's understandable, but it also made me realize I better do a video and explain some of the simple stuff people can do. One of the things, in case you, and it might sound simple to most people, but it's not for everybody, is how to copy a picture and then how to get that picture and take it and get it printed out somewhere. And so for Mike, if you can get a picture copied of my before and after. And so recently I put up new pictures of before and after when I'm doing my videos. If you took a screen capture of one of that, printed it out and asked people, put it on a video, get a video camera and ask people to say, which one would you visit? And when they say the one with all the life there, you say, well, that's pre-Fukushima. So you got to go back in time. Here's a time machine, get a little cardboard box and get them to walk in there and pretend that they're in a time machine. You know, kind of scenario, right? But if you show people pictures, I've done this in the community. I shut them up all the time. Shut them right down on the spot with the before and after. I take it right out of their sales right on the spot with it. But like I'm not like Mike. I do have support. And so I can't say to people or to the audience or anybody else that I don't have support because there's no one out there got the support that I got. I still don't got anywhere near enough, but I got enough. to get things done, right?
Yeah, and right. More and to more buoy you up. Because it is really hard to be out right there by yourself. Like, that's the thing. You begin to feel like you're the only one. That's the one thing that really blew me away. When I started this, I felt like there was just nobody out there. And, you know, I think maybe 5 years ago, 6 years ago, there were like these lifelong anti-nukers who plotted along, did their little deal,
paid attention. It's still going on.
There's lots of them. But now there's so many more people who do understand and the gravity of it all.
I'm reading it in the paper where they're gathering up at this place and gathering up at that place. Right? These protests are still showing up everywhere, but they're not focused in on Fukushima. They're focused in on the rest of the nuclear, and that's fine, in their own communities or whatever. But we do see that happening. That is still happening, and I always try to remember, and that gives me hope, you know, in that context where I do see these. You'll see them every 2 or 3 days where there's a protest happening somewhere. And you'll even see the pro-nukes doing protests to keep plants open. That's got to be the stupidest thing I've ever saw. That's got to be the most demented tactic I've ever heard of. Pro-nuclears protesting the closure of a nuke plant.
I know.
Right? And then it turns out they all work there. Or their families don't. Yeah. Oh, no, no. It's in the article, right? It's not me.
Is that what they say?
Yeah, in the article. You'll see it. When you see it happening. It's like it happens. Just when a plant is closing, keep your eye on the news about it, and you'll see them showing up in the paper. They'll get support in the newspaper, right, to keep the plant open for protesters. Like, think about GMO protester, for instance. Have you ever seen a GMO protester beat up by police? Have you ever seen a GMO protester or heard of one arrested by police?
Yeah.
Then let's look at nuclear, a whole different story, right? Just toss them in the jail, so don't forget about them. But GMO, they don't go near them because they're terrified, right? They've been told, you don't arrest them, don't beat them up, you don't report on them, blah, 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 blah. They don't exist. Let them march. Don't care. And they take over the streets, right? The GMO, the anti-GMO.
That's an interesting thought. I hadn't actually thought about that, Dana. They don't beat up the anti-GMO people. But they seriously intimidate anybody who's anti-nuclear.
Oh, yeah, man. Bring it. The whole industry comes after you. You got them coming after you.
Let me give out my cell phone. There's somebody who was attempting to call me from a landline. Their area code was 580. My cell phone number, if you want to call me, we can do what Mike Bunch did. My cell phone number is 541-337-4664. That's 541-337-4664. And I'll give it one more time. 541-337-4664. That's my cell phone. You can call, and I'll put you right up to the mic, and Dana can hear you. I don't think he can. Dana, can you hear back what he's saying?
I can hear what's being said.
Great. Because I just put you on speaker.
But they can't hear me, right? They won't be able to hear the headphones.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be able to hear the headphones.
That's all. So I'll save my comment for after the hangout.
But maybe what I could do is just put the headphone right underneath the thing. Maybe I can get clever for a few minutes on that one.
Might feedback on you, but.
Yeah, I know. Well, there you go. See, you're the technical person, so I have. Thank you for saving our listeners from that one. Because we
not
wouldn't
sure
know
if it's true. Just be.
Yeah.
Just be wary if it starts to hear it pull back. That's all.
You know, this is really the amazing part of what has gone on. Here you've put in all this effort to go up and down the coast. Now you're putting on these symposiums and seminars to try to share, at least with your community, the information that you have. Your very first symposium, the guy, quote, accidentally forgot about you after you paid money. And you still
I didn't. I had to pay the money when he showed up, but I spent $800 on advertisement.
Wow.
Community.
Yeah.
And so on one side, the whole community, I've been in a local newspaper quarter page ad, and it wasn't the ad I wanted, but it was still a good ad. It still had a before and after pictures. And so the conversation is up and running. And now we're going to actually, we're going to hit every household in this 60-kilometer stretch. Wow. And so we're going to fill up that that big theater they have at the complex. It holds 700 people. I have it paid for. It's booked. And I'm trying to push the date ahead 2 weeks because I want to do a better presentation than I never done the last time. And the last time I never done, but I had such amazing presentation put together. I had put my heart and soul in that for 2 weeks, and then they didn't show up. And the idea was to light them on fire and get volunteers out of that because they're locals. And yeah. So the locals are not going to let the outsiders slip in. It's not like you're in a big city where no one knows each other. The locals knows each other, see? And there's an right. amazing amount of activism already here, but they just, I haven't been able to penetrate that. But now
hardest.
I work, now, yeah, now I worked out how to penetrate it. Yesterday, I finally figured it out and confirmed it. And I didn't say nothing. I'm still not saying how I'm doing it, because why would I? Because I can do this in every community after, and I will. And so the idea is to put together at least 10 to 20 people and give them a task. And I know I can pull this off, because I'm righteous. I have the information, the documentation. I've done the work. I've taken the beatings. I've taken the humiliation. I've been destroyed in the mainstream media repetitively, but yet I'm still here, because I'd never done nothing wrong, and I've done the moral and ethical route. I went that road with that road in mind. That is not about me. Nothing is about me. My life doesn't exist anymore. I got to do what I got to do, because there's 8 million species and there's 7 billion people. And at least, you know, 4 billion of them are not even connected to the internet and have no idea they're supposed to protect themselves. There's 3 billion people dependent upon the Pacific Ocean, whether they realize it or not. It's 50% of the oxygen on the planet. It's the biggest carbon sequester on the planet, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so, you know, these obligations play very strong on me. And what I do is a lifelong commitment. It's not, I want to get this little job done and then whatever, produce a documentary and produce a book and sit back and go around lighting cigars with $100 bills kind of a guy. I want research vessels. I want drones. I want robotic companies to go after these reactors and these waste sites. I want to build all of that. I want a legacy that fights for everything on the planet, because I don't want it to stop. I don't
that
want.
That really
I don't,
is
I don't,
what we need. We need full, aggressive, real, true scientific efforts to stop
right.
this thing going
real,
on. Like, instead of promoting war, we ought to shut down the war machine and just address the 70 years of lies, like that it has caused to human life, animal life, plant life. Everything in our planet is being systematically
dependent upon
destroyed.
Water. It's dependent upon
yes,
water.
It's all, and you know, the issue with tritium is that it goes into water, but it really breaks down in so many ways. It attaches to your bones, it attaches to different parts, and this is what they're counting on. It takes 30 years for us to figure out if you've been harmed from this, and then if you burn a body, say somebody's been contaminated, this is something that was shared in that movie Quietly Into Disaster, this doctor was talking about. Someone dies, they've gotten cancer from radiation. Let's say you bury the body, that radioisotope doesn't go away. It's still contaminating the earth.
Or if you cremate them, you liberate them.
Cremate
the
body,
you
re-release it. He goes, in this way, we are recontaminating the planet without
over
even
and over and over.
No,
yeah.
Over and we don't even have to. It's incomprehensible the level and depth of the massive pile of shite that we
think
have
about a
into.
New flu. Think about a new flu where you go to the doctor and he says, oh, well, you got the flu. And you say, well, I don't feel like I got the flu. Yeah, you got the flu and you're going to have the cancer in about 10 years. It'll show up in about 10 years or 20 years as cancer.
Right.
Well, people would get it then, right? People would go like, shit, I got the flu, man, damn it. And everybody would run away, right? Oh, you got the flu. Because it's contagious. Kind of, you know, like, but it's the people in Fukushima, there was 5,000 workers. Now, they call them plant workers. These weren't plant workers. These were homeless and destitute and immigrants that had 10,000 counts per minute in their body of just cesium, which is a tracer. And that meant all the other isotopes were in their body. So there was 90 to 100 times more strontium-90, which is a bone sinker. And then you mutate stem cells. Not only that, of course, you're displacing the oxygen in your body with the white blood cells that are attacking these isotopes in your body. And so there's all these issues, but like you were talking about when you bury somebody with radioactive isotopes, when they decay, the plants are sucking that up. And then animals and insects and everything else is being affected. So radiation in one sense is also like a magnet, how a magnet works, where it can radiate something else. And that's right. What I'm trying to say. So you can take a screwdriver, magnetize it, and take 1,000 screwdrivers every day and magnetize it on your car battery as long as you keep charging it. You can do that for a long time. But radiation does the same thing. it comes in contact with stuff, and then it leaves a signature there is capable of radiating other things. Even though these are extremely low emitters we're talking about at that stage, not all the time, mind you, some of these particles that, because we had mixed oxide fuel at reactor 3, that's 6 reactor cores are gone out of that building. Well, that stuff there was 2 million times worse than any other current reactor on the planet right now.
And we have really horrible, every reactor has really catastrophic problems on its own. So Fukushima on its own is, combine all the horrible problems on the planet, it's worse than that, to be honest. Don't you? That's how I feel about it, right?
Well, yeah, Fukushima, it's about like bomb testing on the planet, we've done a couple of thousand. And Fukushima is probably equal to over 1 million bombs at this stage right now going off in our environment, because the chain reaction is cannibalizing and consuming steel and cement and rebar and also rocks and water and everything else at enormous temperatures, up to 9,000 degree Fahrenheit temperatures. And so it atomizes the aerosols as it comes in contact with fissionable product, and that is released into the environment. So it's like a breeder reactor where it can produce much more than you started out with. And it's not like that, it is that, where you produce much more, many, many times more. But what people don't understand is they always think in context of a single reactor building, when in reality they should think about 6 reactor cores per building. This is a huge inventory, and then that amount of it consuming everything. There was geysers underground all over that site popping up. The ground was splitting, cement was splitting, steam was flying up through it. And it was massive radiation numbers. Just was boring its way down into the planet.
Wow. And that is all the stuff that we really, that's all the stuff that we are never told. I mean, this is the shock. This is why these venues, Dana, and please do go to Dana Durnford's website and contribute to his efforts, because he's going to be doing this symposium. And it really does matter that we get the word out. The nuclearproctologist.org.
It matters more than ever. This one matters the most.
That's right.
Is the foundation. This one will fund the whole operation from
here
on out.
Really, yeah, I've said this before, you know, we're a battered culture, but there's no battered culture shelter to go to, folks. We're it. We have got to fight our way out. We have to stand up to the monsters, figure out the best practices that we can do. And whatever venue you can do, I was really saddened yesterday to hear that Kevin Blanch decided it was time to move on from his radio show. So there's going to, he's not going to be doing the post-ignorance prep.
Just for the words, I love Kevin. I don't care how much he swears. I don't give a shit.
I don't care about a swear.
I don't care.
He and I have had
habits.
Our conflicts.
I couldn't
care
less how many he got. As long as he's out there fighting, I don't care.
Right.
I got no
right
to criticize him.
That's right.
Not more than I got to criticize you or anybody
That's
out there
right.
listening right now.
The
not
thing is,
business.
It's important, and he is dedicated to outing the complete hypocrisy. I mean, you know, it's really important for all of us, like Mike Bunch standing out on a corner bench in Michigan. But you know what? Every single person matters, and thank you, Mike Bunch, for doing that. Thank you, Kevin Blanch. Kevin Blanch and I got started doing this because I heard him on the radio, and I decided, Carl Grossman on the radio said, take whatever action you think you can do, and that's what I thought I could do. One thing led to another. Here I am almost 3 years later. Kevin and I are still friends. We still talk, but you know what? He's still out doing his deal. He's moved on from this. I recently had a kind of an emotional crisis myself over doing this radio all the time. Like, really, is it really matter? Does it really matter? I feel like I'm pissing in the wind, to be honest. And that's what I decided. You know what I decided? I don't know why, but I feel happier doing this. For all the hassle in my life, this makes me feel more in control, like I'm happier, like I'm... and that is part, I believe that we
try doing my show every day.
Exactly. But you know what? When you don't do it, you probably feel like you're missing something in your life, like you're not doing something you're supposed to be doing. We each have a mission.
Well, to do my show is like you do not stop long time before you get there. Show starts, it's nonstop. And then the last hour before the show starts, it's chaos. It's an unbelievable amount of work to pull off a live stream. And so, why do I do that? Do I do that to show off? Maybe I don't know. Do I do it to?
Well, keep showing off.
I had to learn all these skills, and none of these were easy, and so I get it right. And now that I'm there, I feel, because there's nobody else there, that if I don't show up, then that to me was I have no excuses. If I could be there, I have to show up. If I have the time to do something, I have to do it. And if I have any free time, go ahead.
We have a caller.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Good morning. You're on the radio with Lonnie Clark in the Age of Vision radio show.
The forest dwelling artist, the
Wolf. Hey, this
Hi,
is
Thomas.
Tom Ackerman. Hey, Tom.
Hey, I didn't want you guys to have all the fun by yourself on the radio today. I thought I'd call in.
Oh, good.
I was hoping you would, yeah.
You can hear me well. It's working.
Yes, we can hear you, but unfortunately, you can't hear Dana's comments back to you, can you?
I can hear him, no problem.
He can hear you. A bit closer.
Straighten the phone up. Or
Dana, hello. I just wanted to introduce another idea and something that I've been very aware of for myself. And probably, you know, I think Dana, who has a real love for music and the art, and I'll just make this comment, and you can say something if you feel like it, but the parallel battle for people that understand what we're up against is also an internal battle against conformity. And I think one of the things, we have all the information, but we can't seem to get over this conformity that we're all involved in some form or other. We've been hijacked into doing what everybody else is doing. So just as an example, I just had a show of my paintings, and it was very difficult to get radio programs involved. And it's just painting. It's just art. So the level of conformity that people have to overcome is a parallel war that we're in. That's what I've always felt. And I know Dana loves the music. He has tons and tons of amazing music on his channel. So I just thought I'd put that in there. The conformity is what we need to reverse in people somehow.
I think you're right. I think you're completely right. I agree with you completely. And I think that's kind of like what my appeal was to Kevin Blanche, too, is he's completely nonconformist and, frankly, insulting. But part of that is people need to be insulted. They need to, like, get shocked. It's kind of the shock jock. You know what I mean? That's part of the issue, is the shock jock. But really, it's beyond that. We have to take it a step beyond the shock jock. We have to, like, take it into action of really moving the policymakers into understanding how their conformity is literally killing our planet. We cannot afford for them to continue to conform. It's an impossibility.
Last note, I just want to say to people that come over to the right side of this fight, the idea of being nonconformist is an enormous satisfaction personally. You know how you talk about being happy?
Yeah.
I don't know why this is, but there is a craving in all of us not to go along, especially if it's not working. So there is a fabulous, with all the fights we're in and trying to defend ourselves, there is an enormous amount of satisfaction and joy in not going along. So that's just as a, you know, people listening, it really does make a difference in our lives. We're going to be a lot happier not going along. All the best. Both of you.
Okay. Thanks.
Hugs, Thomas. You can find Thomas Ackerman's links under my videos on YouTube, Beautiful Girl by Dana, folks. But, hey, I just want to comment because we only got 2 minutes left, was that conformity, right, is easily explained. If you look at Reuters newspaper and you look at AP, they'll put out a story, and then you'll see a picture and our writer and then a few paragraphs. And wait 3 minutes, and then you can go to any mainstream media, and you'll see that on their website, the same picture, the same name, and the same two articles. And everybody is talking the same talking points, but these are conjectures. You need to go find the source and then make up your own mind, not take their word for it. But that's not what people do, right? That's what Thomas is saying. People just take their word for it, and you shouldn't do that. Go look yourself, yeah.
Same thing, Dana. We have 15 seconds. I don't mean to give you the bum's rush here, but I think it's the same thing about growing your own garden, getting the information.
Yes.
This, in fact, is what I mean. Put your courage feet on and take action. Find out for yourself. Figure out what you can do to help stop this. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for attempting to call in. We'll talk to you soon. Take care.